do they need help with dressing because they had a stroke and they can't get the other side on, and they used to really like fashion, and so how do we get them back into liking fashion again? They're valuable. Like, their wants and needs are heard. They have a caregiver that's on their time, on the schedule that they want, and they just feel like the boss, and that's how they should feel, like it's their house.
Welcome to Desperately Seeking Senior Living, a podcast for sons, daughters, grandkids, spouses, and all caregivers who suddenly find themselves tangled in the search for senior living and care. If you like today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and check out our doable download in today's show notes for a printable summary of the show and a bonus tip. Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Valerie Lynn. I have a quick question for you. Has your loved one said they're never moving from their house, but they're also refusing to let you bring in a caregiver to help them with that shower or to make that meal? Well, then you do not want to miss this episode. I am so excited to welcome Angela Garcia of Sunshine Care Services and the Sunshine Podcast. And in case you couldn't tell from our show opener, Angela embraces the sunshine. In this episode, we're exploring how you can help your loved one accept personal care through exploring their fears, their joys, getting creative, and bringing it all together with a little sunshine. You're listening to our doable tips, short answers to your questions. Don't see your question listed? Send us a note. Then don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an answer. Angela, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Valerie.
I'm so excited to have you on. And I actually need to be on your show because you have a show as well.
I do. Yeah, and it's called...
Yeah, what is the name of your show?
It's called Sunshine Podcast. Yes.
I love it.
And named after my personality, yes.
You do. You absolutely have a sunshine personality. I absolutely love it. And what is your podcast about?
Well, I talk about the good and the bad because we don't always talk about it.
The good and the bad of what?
Of life.
And today we're talking about the good and bad of needing more assistance as we get older.
Absolutely.
You also have an in-home care agency.
I do.
And there's sunshine in the name of that as well.
It is Sunshine Care Services.
I really love your approach to care because I would say that so many of our listeners really reach a point at which they're worried about their loved ones living home alone. There can be so many different reasons for that. But when it comes time to a solution, like for a solution, I would say most of us are going to want to live in our homes.
Yes.
Most of us, when we get to that age, we're not going to want to move to a senior living community. That's just the way we are. Mm-hmm. But how do you invite someone into your home? How do you like overcome that? Because most families are finding that their loved ones are saying, no, I don't want to move.
Oh, absolutely.
Or they're saying, no, I don't want care.
Yeah, they don't want to be dropped off in a nursing home and they have a bad stigma. And little do they know, there are amazing services and other things outside of home. But if their major goal and they want to stay home and they are able to stay home safely, we offer specialized care.
And I love the way you do things because you really make it a partnership and you really make it personal. And that's the thing that I love the most.
I try to make it fun with families because it's really hard. When families call and ask for help, it's never really the client. It's always the children or grandchildren. And they're in crisis mode. They needed home care or a caregiver yesterday or last year. So this is really last minute by the time I get the phone call. I have yet to change the whole education system of people calling to have a consultation long before they need it. So
it's so true. Yes, we've had so many guests on the show talking about how families wait till the last minute. But I think that's just because I say this all the time, nobody wants to think or talk about senior living and care. Like they just don't want to face it.
They don't.
So I always like to explore what are some of the major concerns or the questions that families ask you the most, or the things that they're afraid of the most, or the things they don't understand? Like, is there anything that really stands out to you?
Yes. I would say families, the biggest issue is their safety at home. Number one, the question is, it's never really the client. The client usually always is like, I'm fine. I don't need anything.
And by the client, you mean mom or dad that's living home alone.
Yes. It's always, what can your caregivers do to provide safety? A lot of the times, families aren't healthcare providers. And even if the very few that do have health experience, they want to know like what magic potion that we have. And so a lot of it is to prevent falls, help with medication, just kind of just be that relief. That's just the bigger question when it comes to just home care specifically. I would say the biggest thing they just want is just to have peace of mind that someone will be there that will like love their parents like they do.
So it's a really tough position though, right? Because so it's the families calling you saying, what can your caregivers do? But their mom or dad don't necessarily want the help. So how do you handle that? How do you help? Because you've got to kind of bridge that gap.
Absolutely. So how to not persuade, but methods and techniques to talk with your parents about safety and comfort in their house. The pain points are, what frustration do I hear from the client? I never ask, like, what are you frustrated about? A few of techniques that, you know, it could help, you know, those listening that are family caregivers or are also talking about different options, you know, with the client is talking about their pain points and let that organically happen. So how does talking about pain points organically happen in a conversation? So in home care, we're all pretty much very similar how we create a care plan. We talk about what are the activities of daily living? You know, do they need help with personal care in the shower, toileting, etc.? Do they need help with, you know, cooking meals or like housekeeping, laundry? These are the things that most people do for themselves at home that sometimes they just need that bullet point reminder. Like, what can your caregivers do? What can they not do? Are they a nurse? Or are they a caregiver? I just make it very simple with families. I just say what we can't do. And a lot of it's my own policy, like with medication and handling finances. Other companies may do that. I just say, no, we don't do that. And it just makes it easier for them to know what we can do. They're like, oh, so they can do this. I'm like, yes, because there's only two things on the list that they can't do. So I make it really easy, straight to the point, so they don't have to guess. It's just really bad to have people unknowing. And so when I meet with the client, I do talk about their daily routine. I walk them through their day. It helps me get to know them. And in reality, a lot of people like talking about themselves. It's just human nature. Like, yeah, someone's asking me about my day. I never really thought about it. I like to watch this show in the morning, or I like to exercise, but I haven't done that in 10 years. And like the children are like, why would you even bring it up with her if you don't even do it anymore? But I'm observing, I'm acting like a detective. I'm trying to figure out like what brings them joy.
Yes.
And finding their pain points is very easy when they talk about themselves. Like, oh, I would really like to have steak again, but I can't have all that fat. But is there like something, another meal that brought them joy? I would really love, you know, to have coffee again. It would be really nice, but I can't have coffee anymore because the doctor says I can't, you know, so it's not like I brought it up, but it comes out on its own.
Yeah. I love that word, pain points. What are some other examples?
So like, for instance, if they said, like, let's go with the coffee example, I really wish I could have coffee again. Like that is just something that was my favorite thing to do in the morning, smell the coffee. You know, I could always talk about, are you able to have like decaf? Are you able to still have coffee? Do you want to like have like coffee diffuser in the house? Maybe you want the house to smell like coffee. You know, I try to find different ways to bring joy back into what's really bothering them. But I also bring it back, like our caregivers can help you go shopping to find coffee beans and, you know, maybe you can grind it up and, you know, put it around the house because coffee does really smell good. And even though you can't have coffee, maybe we can, you know, get you started on like warm beverages, like herbal tea or, you know, something that is hot and just kind of train yourself. Like, would you be willing to try something new? It's still a warm beverage in the morning. You can still smell coffee in the house. Or is it more of the caffeine? Like you miss the caffeine versus like the actual coffee. So I kind of dive into like normally at the end of the assessment, like how can we like provide like their independence and what brought joy to them? I always look for like a top three pain points that bother the client that's separate from what the family has already called. So coffee may not be like what the care plan is, but you know, we're there to help with the shower, do the laundry, make sure that they're taking their medication. The client doesn't want to hear all that.
Right. That's not fun.
So when I talk about life goals, because I talk to clients, I always like to call it the last quarter of their life. Mm. And so the last quarter of their life, you know, we have four quarters in our lives and they are in their last quarter. It sounds
a little depressing.
Sad to say, but it is the fourth quarter. I call it that way because a lot of people that I meet have been business minded. They understand these quarters.
Or football.
Yeah. Or whichever, you know, those words will spark something for them that they still have like fourth quarter that they can still plan for. And so I said, you know, if there is anything left that you wanted to do, what's the most important thing like on your list? If you were to have a top three list, what's the first one? And usually 100% of the time, if it's a male, it's like to drive again.
And then
the other one is to like see my grandchildren more or something like that, like to spend time with family more. Just because you're 60, 70, 80, 90 doesn't mean that you don't have goals anymore. There's still things that even when we're 80 or 70, there's still something left that you wanted to do. Maybe it's like go to another baseball game. They were a big sports fan. Like, how can we do this for that? Kind of like a wish program, but right. We kind of find a different way to make it happen. Even if they can't go see the Yankees, wherever they're at, maybe we can take them to a Rainiers game or we can watch it on TV and have the family over and make a big party out of it. So we find really creative ways to meet their goals. But a lot of the time at this point in time, it's very sentimental. They want to spend more time with their family. And and how do we make that happen is I always ask them, like, who do you want to know if you were to pass away? Like, who do you want here on your birthday? Not to impress anyone else in their room, but just, you know, tell me as a person, like, who would be here that would make you have joy? And they're like, well, I would really love to see my son again. He lives all the way over there. And so I'm like, do you have his number? Do you have a way to contact him? And then the sister's in the room like, yes, here's his number. and it's like, we can get him on the phone right now. I can't believe mom said that. And it's so interesting what you unravel because you opened up a part of them that, wow, someone's listening to me. Like, they're really going to actually help me use the bathroom and help me with the laundry. Like, this is interesting. Like, no.
And help me talk to my son.
Yes. So,
or do a Zoom or, yeah. So
it's a win-win. It's a win-win for them. And they're in total control. Yeah. And that is what we want our clients to know, that when they have in-home care, they're still the boss. They're still in control. We're just helping with the areas that need assistance. We're not taking over. And so I just write it down for them so they can visually see, like, this is what our caregivers can help you with. On top of the other needs that you need help with, like preventing a fall or taking your medication on time. I know I say we don't help with meds, but we do reminders. We just don't administer. But, you know, do they need help with dressing because they had a stroke and they can't get the other side on? And they used to really like fashion. And so how do we get them back into liking fashion again? So we have different personalities. And so finding their pain points and kind of talking about that, it helps them know that our conversation, they're valuable. Like their wants and needs are heard, regardless if it's like, I don't need a caregiver to help me with the shower. I can do it myself. I'm like, yes, for sure. We're going to help you with your shower to make sure that you don't have any future falls, but we can actually watch all your favorite shows, you know, in the afternoon, because now that you have a caregiver here, you won't lose the remote control. So it's one of those things where it's so very little that can bring them joy that someone else can do. And they don't always have to call their children that maybe an hour or two out or after work. They don't have to wait. They have a caregiver that's on their time, on the schedule that they want, and they just feel like the boss, and that's how they should feel, like it's their house.
It's exactly. That's what you're really talking about, is taking a very holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. And that is what I use as ammo to have caregivers. So at the very end, you know, I always like tie it up nice in a beautiful bow and say, now that we talked about like having showers, that you don't have a fall again, or that you're eating more healthy, that, you know, you won't have a stroke or a heart attack. that the number one thing you said is that you want to see your grandchildren grow up. And so that could be a possibility if you follow what our caregivers can do for you, and having a healthy diet and making sure you have these showers on top of having coffee again and dressing yourself. So I kind of pull it all together, and it seems to be a really great equation of, like, I wouldn't say it's persuasion, but it's meeting them at their level.
Yeah. What has your success rate been from this type of approach?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have a percentage on it, but it's, we succeed with this method pretty much with every client. I haven't had any bad feedback as far as how we approach this method with specialized care, because it's really their care. So they can't really be upset with what they own like. So if they don't like something, it was something that they created. So we just fix it, you know?
Because you made them a part of the process.
Exactly. So if they don't want their laundry done a certain day, they realize they like it Friday, and Thursday is really a bad day because there's not enough laundry. That's totally fine.
I absolutely love this. I love the way you're approaching it. Like, you talked about a couple of things. Well, you've said more than once, joy. I actually just had a couple of podcast episodes on finding the things that your loved one loves or used to love can help you have a more successful move to a senior living or memory care. So we actually just talked about this, and I am a huge believer in creative care. And that's kind of what you're doing by finding out what they used to love, or what the things are that they miss, or getting creative with the coffee. I love how you're tying it all together. You're kind of changing the mindset about what it means to get in-home care.
Yeah. So because I'm a huge in-home care advocate, it's not that I don't want them to move, but if this is the actual goal, I will always advocate if this is not safe for them to be home. I won't even entertain the idea if I know that this is not safe.
And sometimes it's cost too. If they need 24/7, you know, it might come down to a cost question too.
Oh yeah. Financially, in-home care 24/7, unless you were wealthy, that makes sense. Yeah, but if you're not wealthy, like 80% of the people that actually need this services, then it really makes sense to talk about all of the options.
And Angela, this is why I love you. I always love when we, even though our conversations are sometimes short, your energy and your passion for what you do, this is why I love you so much, because I seriously, like, I have that same passion for educating families so that families know that they have choices. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is really elevating the industry, because everything you're talking about with finding those pain points, figuring out their goals, you know, even talking about it as fourth quarter. I love that analogy, even though, it does sound a little sad, but like everything you're talking about, if every senior living community, if every other healthcare organization approached it this way, I just feel like what you're talking about is creating a personal environment. Mm-hmm. And it is personal.
I mean, in reality, it's called specialized care.
Right. It should be special.
It's specialized care because everyone's like, you know, different areas is special. But I always like call it tailoring their needs and, you know, having them design their own. I find words that I always like to know, like before I meet the client, what did they do for a living beforehand? And then just use like, I used to call it trigger words, but now it's like weird to say trigger now. So I always try to find like words that will like green flag them versus red flag them.
Oh, like from their profession.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Angela, I love this.
So this is a lot of my secret sauce that
is creative care.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we're talking about is making. So, okay. So in the beginning of what we talked about, we were talking about how most of your calls come from family members and not from the person needing the care, because most people are either in denial or they don't want to approach that fourth quarter, or they feel, you know, less than because they do need assistance. But everything you're talking about makes them a part of the process so that they don't feel like it's their kids doing this to them or hovering, or, you know, they become a part of this creative process. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
The goal is to always make sure that they're the one making the decisions.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think everyone approaches it that way.
No,
not according to the family feedback that I get, right?
Yeah. In reality, I make sure that they are the main character in their story, that this is their story. How do they want to finish, you know, and write their last quarter or their fourth quarter of their life?
Yes. So, Angela, what would be your number one doable tip for families that are facing this need?
I would say just remember what they were like at your age or younger and remind them of who they were and how they see themselves. Because a lot of times, just because someone's older, they see themselves still as someone that's 20 years old. So if they like dancing, if they like classical music, and now they can't walk, play it in the background, learn who they were before, not like as mom or grandma now that, oh, they're so stubborn, they won't take their meds. Like, why do they do this to me? Focus on them as a person, and all of the other things will fall in place. That would be my doable tip.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sunshine Care Services, offering around-the-clock non-medical home care services to ensure that your loved one gets the attention they deserve. Making the most of every opportunity to help your loved one feel loved and valued. Let Sunshine Care Services shine light into your care needs wherever you call home. Find more information in today's show notes. Check out this episode's doable download in show notes for details, including industry terms and definitions we discussed, as well as a bonus tip from our guest. Have questions or your own tips to share? Leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, make it doable.